welcome into Big Orange Sunday. We are, as you just heard, brought to you by Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank. Ball basketball today, last regular season game. Florida should be a great ball game. Tennessee with a win will be the fourth seed in the SEC tournament, which will start this Wednesday here in Nashville. What's the benefit of that? We get to the first two rounds bye. So Tennessee will be playing for that today, and Florida will also. Should be a great ball game. Of course, a little later in the show, Billy the Legend will get into what's happened, what will happen, what he thinks can happen. We might even get into a little bit of free throw shooting at some point. Again, later in the show. Big Orange Sunday is back to doing our church segment. We got away from that for a while with all the COVID and people Zooming on a lot of church. I'm sure you are, as I am. But we're back to the church segment, 25 uninterrupted minutes as we prepare to talk about UT football and UT athletics. Spring football starts has been set. The starting dates have been set March 23rd, the game about a month after that. The coaching staff is now filled. That includes a new strength coach. And I will get into much more on both of those subjects just a little bit later in this initial segment. Let's start, though, with the NCAA investigation into football. I've been following this very closely, as closely as I possibly could, probably a good bit closer than any of you all because, well, I have time to do it, and I'm interested in finding out what's going on with all of Tennessee athletics, but particularly with the Tennessee football. Let me start with this. This is what my observations have been so far. Chancellor Plowman, I believe that she is the most involved chancellor by far in the 40 years that I've followed UT football, going back to 1980, by far. Why? Well, because as I've watched her in talk, I've read what she said, and I've listened to some of her comments on different things. I think she is doing an excellent job of taking the bull by the horns, and I like that. Again, some would think maybe, and might be rightfully so, not me. I think we need a chancellor that's involved. That's what their job is. Again, in the University of Tennessee system, the president is over all the system, all of the universities in the state. Chancellor Plowman is in charge of UT Knoxville. And for one, me, I'm glad to see that she has taken the bull on the horn, particularly when it comes to these recruiting violations, recruiting investigations. Let's talk a little bit about how she has handled that. First off, starting with the initial press conference firing the head football coach. Very clear she took charge of that press conference and very clear that she was in control. She is in charge. And to me, she's been very, very impressive in it. I can't say enough positive things about her. Never met her, don't know her, but very impressed with the way that she has handled things from my viewpoint. Let's talk about the investigation into football irregularities. Here's what we learned from a video call that she made, at a Zoom call to several different alumni, people I'm sure who were not only donors to the university, but also key people, not everybody, but things leak out about what she said on that. I listened to those and read about those. And just a couple of thoughts on what she said is going on with the investigation. Again, the athletic department, the compliance office of the athletic department, and the university general counsel, the legal people in both the athletic department and at the university worked together on this. That's kind of a rarity in college athletics. Normally, the compliance office in the athletic department works through the athletic director, and the report is made to the leader, in this instance, the chancellor of the university. Not so in this. From the get-go, Chancellor Plowman took control of this, wanted it to come through her office, worked with the general counsel's office for the university and the compliance office. I think that's a good thing. Again, that doesn't happen in most universities. It did at the University of Tennessee. And when we get through all this, when all the dust is cleared on this and the violations have been proven and the NCAA makes their decision, I don't have any doubt it's going to be a huge plus for the University of Tennessee because the chancellor got involved in this. The investigation was run through her office. Per her first press conference, she said very plainly, after several weeks, even months of investigation by the general counsel and the compliance office, that there were, quote, serious violations of the NCAA rules. We'll see. Have no doubt that that's the way the university sees it. But one thing I've learned over my many years here in the, on this earth, I always wait to see what the facts are, what's presented. Again, I have no reason to believe there weren't major serious violations of the NCAA rules. Have no reason to believe that at all. But again, I want to wait and see exactly what happened. The university's part is about done, she stated. How far is that going to be? Well, it's time, tough to put a timeline on that. We know that, but it looks like it's about done. She also said that the NCAA has been involved in all or almost all of the interviews with the key people in this. Once the university's part of it's done and they make their presentation to the conference, SEC, and the NCAA, will those be made public? Don't know. But fact of the matter is, we know from past experience, the NCAA is, I'm not going to say slow, maybe prudent would be the word. They're slow. So we may not be finding out all about this. So what I'm going to do on this is kind of keep my powder dry. I have no reason to believe that there weren't major violations that occurred. They certainly got to the point where the university felt comfortable. Maybe comfortable is not the word, but felt they could fire a head coach, a couple of assistants, and make major changes in the athletic department because of these violations. So we'll see. Now, I want to compare that. You probably haven't followed this closely. I have. I want to compare that to what's going on at the University of Arizona and Louisiana State University. Again, without getting into guilt, innocence, or anything like that, the allegations. But what is very clear from the NCAA in both of those universities is that the administration of the university either did not get involved as much as they should, or we'll see if it works out, were somewhat complicit in some of the, and these are different accusations at both universities. But the bottom line, the point I want to make is this. For my money, I'm glad to see where the leader of this university, the person that is in charge of running this total university, is truly taking the bull by the horns, in charge and involved. I like that. Everything I've seen, and of course I know some are going to say, well, she should be doing this, that position should be doing that. Bottom line is this. It looks to me like, from an athletic standpoint, she has hired an athletic director, and she is letting him run the athletic department. The athletic director has hired a football coach and has worked, I'm sure, with that football coach on hiring a staff. So from that standpoint, as I look at it, I really like what the chancellor's office, what the administration is doing at this university. I'm a big believer, just personally, a big believer in oversight. And I have felt for years, and you've heard me talk about it on this show, I have felt for years that when the Board of Trust was the Board of Trust and had not been changed, their job was to oversight. I thought much of the time they did not provide oversight. They provided rubber stamps in many instances. So I like oversight. I like the fact that an athletic director should be overseen and have oversight and be asking questions as through his compliance office about what's going on, good and bad. That's part of the job. And it's part of the job, a big part of the job for the chancellor of the university. So spending a little bit more time on this, but from everything I've seen, Chancellor Plowman, as I said, I haven't known all of the chancellors previous to Chancellor Plowman, the last 40 years going back to 1980, but I've known several of them. And the job that she's doing right now, for me, gets a big A plus. I'm sure she's going to do everything perfect. But the handling of this part of it, I see very little that you could really quibble with. Now, we're going to find out, and that's why I've not said too much about what the allegations are against Coach Pruitt. My guess is, and it's just strictly a guess, it's not an opinion, that probably they're pretty serious. But again, I want to wait and see what comes out of all this. They were serious enough that they fired him without cause. We'll see a little bit later as we go through this investigation on, does that mean that they're not going to have to pay him any money at all? Well, we're going to find out on that. So that's where the investigation is. All right, let's go back to spring ball and the football staff. First off, the football staff has been completed. That includes a strength coach. With the strength coach, there's four other, as I count them, coaches that clearly are on Coach Josh Heupel's wavelength. They've been with him. They know what to do. Most of them are on offense. We have some on defense, too. Defense is going to be a little bit different from the standpoint of they're going to have to get to know each other. With a spring practice starting in, what, a little over 2 weeks, and they've had another week or so to get to know the players, to work out and things like that. By the time that spring practice hits here, I have no doubt, and again, I'm sure that Coach Heupel is going to do what he has done as a head coach at previous stop at UCF. He's probably going to run that type of practice. We know, and I won't get into and rehash it, but we know he's an offensive coach. We know that the offensive staff with him knows what they're going to do. He has had tremendous success as an offensive coordinator at both Oklahoma and Missouri, and as a head football coach offensively at the University of Central Florida. Defense, we're going to have to see what happens on that. Don't know any of the guys, no Rodney Garner. Willie Martinez. They both are former coaches at Tennessee. Don't know the defensive coordinator. Have talked to people about him, have had some great comments made about him. But again, proof's going to be in the pudding on that, right? But we know when spring's going to start, all right? And we know what the staff looks like. Here's what we don't know. And I haven't spent a long time talking about this because I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about. Now, there's still a lot of people at the University of Tennessee in the football program and athletic department that I know well and could tell me some of the answers on some of the questions I have. I don't do that. I don't do it because I don't want to put them in a bad position where from friendship and previous working arrangements, they probably would tell me something, but it could also not benefit them. So, here's what I don't exactly know. Nobody does outside that athletic department that I know of exactly what this roster is going to look like for spring. We don't know exactly who's in school right now. I've heard different things about different players, but don't know that. So, again, I'm going to hold off on that. But I know this. We know that we have at least, it looks like, 10 early enrollees that are coming in this class. That does not include a transfer quarterback that's coming in. We know that some of the seniors who have another year's eligibility due to NCAA rules are going to be back. Don't know exactly who. Got a pretty good idea. We know the players who have left, who have transferred out, who are already at other football programs, other universities. But we don't know that in entirety. So I'm going to wait to comment on the roster until we see what the roster is. And I go by the roster that is on the UT athletic website. And there is no players on there, are no players on that right now. There are coaches. All the coaches are on there. All the other staff members are on there. So we'll kind of wait on that. But returning players, early enrollees, again, exactly what that roster is going to look like as spring practice goes along, we will learn more and more about that. And when I get definitive answers on it, I'll kind of talk to you about that. One thing that I've mentioned over and over again, and I want to keep pressing this on fans, supporters, people who follow this program. There is no doubt in my mind that there are enough good football players returning and that will return on this team from last year that we can be a good football team. The more I look and evaluate and watch previous game tape, this football program, this football team, this coaching staff did not do a good enough job of coaching the players. They did a good job of recruiting. Now, do we have the talent that 3, 4, 5 other teams in this league and country have? No. But folks, we got plenty enough, good enough talent to be a good football team. And if you're a good football team and you get the breaks and you play well, you win games that maybe you shouldn't. We've done that throughout the history of this program. We've lost games we shouldn't, and we won games we shouldn't, and we've won games we should, and we've lost games that we should have lost. But I want to keep impressing that, because depending on who you talk to and who you listen to, maybe you don't get that opinion. There are good football players on this team that, if coached well, are in good position and that are developed, can be a good football team. Can we play for a conference championship next year? Probably not. But I was part of a program in 1985 that had no chance of playing for a conference championship. We ended up winning it and being the number four team in the country and winning the Sugar Bowl. So it can happen. I'm not saying it will, but it can. So we're going to be talking about spring as we go through spring. But again, it looks to me like, and I've heard good reports about seniors who are coming back. I think we're going to have four or five seniors that come back in the defensive line. That's a plus. None of them are particularly great players, but they're good players with experience that are 22, 23 years old. I think we're going to have maybe a defensive back or two come back. If true, again, they're not great players, but they're solid, good players that well-coached and put in good positions can win at the University of Tennessee. So those are what we're going to be talking about again in future shows. I want to talk about Josh Heupel just a little bit. As most of you know, I am hit the wrong button on that. Let me go back and talk. Ryan, how long was I off there? About three or four, what, a couple seconds? All right. I want to talk about Josh Heupel. I've had several conversations with people. Bobby Proctor, many of you know, was my former coach. And a guy that I kind of emulated his coaching style. He coached for Barry Switzer, three national championships at Oklahoma, also was a freshman coach at Tennessee way back when. Knows Josh Heupel well, and his son knows him well. And talked to several other people around that program, just asking what he was like. As a player, remember, he was a junior college player that came in and wasn't really very highly recruited. He was highly enough that Oklahoma recruited him. Smart quarterback. They compared him to me to Mac Jones with Alabama, the way he handled about that type of athlete, but smart, very smart, football smart, worked hard, an excellent, and when he was an assistant there, an excellent teacher of quarterbacks, which I think has been proven throughout his career. One big thing they talked about that really kind of struck home with me, Coach Proctor, and particularly mentioned to me, was, you know, back when he was a player and he was the quarterback of a national championship there, Bob Stoops only, well, the last national championship at Oklahoma's won. They had a bad tornado that came through Moore, Oklahoma in particular, but that's Moore's a suburb of Oklahoma City anyway. And the leadership that he showed in getting the Oklahoma football players involved in helping out with the community, that was a big plus there. Bottom line is this: person, smart, ability on the field, made most of his ability on the field. Not a great athlete, but an outstanding quarterback because of his smart and extremely good at teaching. And that's the most important thing. So one just kind of mentioned that about him, about Coach Heupel. All right, let's get into, got about, six, 7 minutes here left in this segment. Let me kind of get into a little bit of this. You know, folks, there's two, I'm going to talk about what we're going to do on offense this year. There's two basic types of offense, all right? You have a run-based offense, which is built around a running game. Tailback in most instances, running back, maybe a lead back, two tight ends, whatever. The passing game primarily comes off the play action pass. And then you have the other type, which is built around a quarterback in the gun position, three or four wide receivers, throwing the ball, the bubble screens, every type stretching the field. And that attracts quarterbacks. Well, the system that we're going to see, the hurry-up system, I'm sure he'll have several ways of doing that, depending on what talent he has, is going to be quarterback centered. And that should attract quarterbacks. All right. It should. Of those two systems, Coach Josh Heupel is clearly in the latter one on that. We're going to throw the ball around. We're probably going to try to get the ball snapped in about 10 seconds. You got a 40-second clock that starts when the whistle blows to end the play. Their goal is to get it off in 10 seconds. Now, will he adjust that because of the talent that he has at Tennessee? I'm sure he will. But that's the system that he runs. I mention this because of this. The one thing, and I'm going to get into recruiting here in just a second, but the one thing that Josh Heupel should attract to Tennessee is quarterbacks. That one position, because he is a quarterback-centered offensive coordinator, head football coach. That should attract quarterbacks. Let me just hit quickly what they had to work with it here now. I may go just a little bit over on this, but I wanted to hit offensively the skill players. And I'm going to tell you who we have. You probably know most of them. But let's talk about who we have come back. This is why, and I normally am, as you all know, I'm a glass half full guy. I'm bullish almost all the time on who's hired. I want to see whoever they, I don't care who they hire as a head football coach. That ain't none of my business. I want them to be successful. But let's just talk about it. The quarterback position is so key. I'm doing this in alphabetical order, all right, because I don't know who the who's the best quarterback is. But you got Bailey. We've seen him play. We know the type of quarterback he is. You got Hooker, who's a transfer, and you haven't seen him, but he's a guy that's kind of he can run the ball. He can throw the ball. He has experience. He started set many games at Virginia Tech. We got Maurer. We've seen what he can do, pluses and minuses. And then we got a young freshman coming in from Texas, a Salter youngster, an early enrollee. When I mentioned not developing, and this is strictly my opinion on this, I never felt like that our quarterbacks – the last couple of years, have maybe even longer than that, have been developed. Can Josh Heupel and Coach Halsey, quarterback coach, find a quarterback or two of this group? My guess is that they can, because these guys that were recruited have talent. We don't know their leadership abilities, but they have talent. They can throw the football. So my hope is, and it's not just a hope based on hope, my belief is that Josh Heupel is going to find a quarterback that can be a good football player for us, maybe better than that. Let's look at the wide receivers. Again, wide receivers and tight ends were two areas I did not think was developed. Running backs I thought were developed last year, but not the others. But let's just talk about it. Jones Jr. is coming back. Speed, I don't know if he's the fastest guy on the team, but he's darn sure one of them. Senior leadership. As the season went along, they found out what he could do. This staff will know what he could do. We got Hyatt. Hyatt's a star in the making. Get him the cotton pick and ball. We got Weidman and Tillman and Keaton for sure. Holiday, Callaway, freshman. Holiday, tremendous ability. And then we got an early enrollee, a young man from here in Brentwood, in the Merrill youngster, an early enrollee. Bottom line is this. There's 7, 8, 9 guys there who developed, should be good football players. They're talented. They should flourish under this system. Tight end, we've seen what Warren can do. We know what Fant can do. Austin Pope is back. Are any of those players great players? No. Are they good enough to win with in this league and compete in this league for a championship? Yes, I believe they are. All of these skilled players are. We got an early enrollee in Campbell. Don't know much about him. Running backs. We got hit hard there by transfers. But let me say this. A running back in this system is a different type of running back than what we've had in the other systems that they've run here. You don't have to be a power running back. Catch the ball out of the backfield. An Alvin Kamara type. Now, I don't know that we have an Alvin Kamara type. I hope we do. But small, you got Evans. We saw what Small could do last year. Good coming out of the backfield, making people miss. And again, the running back in this offense is going to be greatly involved in the passing game. Evans, the junior college early enrollee, strong, tough kid. We saw Beckwith. We've seen a little bit of Hodge. We've seen Whitehead. We got a high school kid coming in named Wright. Bottom line, if you go quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, running backs, well coached, there's no reason why we should not have very good players and some outstanding players. We're going to have at the running back position, a little bit at the tight end, but especially at the wide receiver position, we got some guys that can run. We got some guys that can take. We've seen Hyatt. We've seen Jones Jr. We've seen a little bit of Weidman. Holiday's a young man that was I thought would maybe play a little bit more for whatever reason he didn't. Tremendously talented. No reason why offensively from a skill standpoint and a developed quarterback that can distribute the ball where it needs to be distributed, no reason why this shouldn't be a pretty darn good high-powered offense. Didn't get into the offensive line. We'll talk about that just a little bit later. All right. I'll end the show. Let me say just one quick thing on recruiting, and then we'll go to break. Had other things I want to talk about. I mentioned this last week. I am not concerned at all about recruiting right now. Remember this. From today, there's 9.5 months before any player can sign, before any player can transfer. Now, they can transfer a little earlier than that. So we got 9.5 months. Right now, we're probably not high on the list of a lot of good football players. We got a 12-game football season to play. If this staff, if Josh Heupel can show the potential that he will have as head coach at Tennessee, we're going to be in on a lot of good football players. All right? So I'm not concerned about who's committing where, just like I'm not concerned about who commits to us. He may or may not come there. All right. We may have a quarterback out there in this state, maybe who's committed to a powerhouse school in the conference. But hey, after watching 12 games, 10 games, you know what? I think I'm going to be interested in my in-state program. So I don't spend 1 minute thinking about that because this staff has not been able to go out and see any coaches. They've not been able to have any players in. I'm sure they're working their butts off on the phone and Zoom calls and everything else. But it's all going to center around, as a player, a prospective player, am I seeing an opportunity for Tennessee to become really good in the next 4 years? What happened last year? What happened in 1998? What happened in 1938? Doesn't make any difference. Not to prospective players. It does to me. It does to you, most of you. So that's where we are right now. So again, not big problems on it. We got an entire 2021 season. All right, I've rambled on enough about that. We're going to continue talking about some of the things. Have a lot to talk about when spring practice starts, and as we build to future programs, we'll take a break and we come back. Billy the Legend will join us, and we'll talk a little basketball at the end of the show. I'm going to take about 2 or 3 minutes to kind of get into just some last-second thoughts on some things with the program at the University of Tennessee, but I'll wait till the end of the show on that. Double Dogs Restaurant. I guess that's plural, right? Two of them here in Nashville, Middle Tennessee area, in Davidson County, as a matter of fact. One in Hillsborough Village and one that I go to at least once a week. Other one over on Charlotte, the exact same food, exact same folks, but a little bit too further away from me. I go to the closest one up in Bowling Green, up in Knoxville, up in other areas around SEC football. Bottom line is this. If you're looking for a great place to go, 30-plus TVs, it's a sports bar, but it's a family sports bar. Great food, salads, burgers, fries, chicken, soups, mac and cheese dishes, Hebrew hot dogs. Again, I'm not a hot dog guy, but I know a lot of people are, and they absolutely love them. Go online at doubledogs.biz and find out one near you. All right, let's talk a little basketball with Billy the Legend. Bill Justice, brought to you by IntelliTurf Nashville. For all your synthetic grass installation needs at nashville.intelliturf.com. Billy, a Sunday game, last game of the year, Florida. I guess from listening to you and of course, following Tennessee, Kentucky, the rival, but Florida has become right up there with them. Let's talk a little bit about the game today.
They really have been for a long time, and that's a lot of that probably is a little carryover from football. But historically, the Tennessee-Florida rivalry in all sports is not second to too many. Obviously, in basketball, it's Kentucky, and football, it's Alabama. But Florida would probably come in there behind those two in both of those sports. So big game today, tremendous outcome affecting what happens in the Southeastern Conference tournament in Nashville that starts this week. And if Tennessee wins, they get a double bye. If Florida wins, they get the double bye. So a lot riding on the game. Glad it's in Knoxville. Even though there's limited people in the stands, it's very important to be able to know the background of the basketball goals and everything like the Tennessee team will. They need to have, and we can talk about this more, but Tennessee needs to be complete. They need to have five or six players contribute in every game. They're not getting that. The games that they lose, they'll have two or three players that get some good numbers, and that kind of falls off. And I don't mean getting 20 points by four or five guys. To be complete, they need five or more to contribute. It can be with rebounds, steals, blocks, defensive contribution and points. And Tennessee needs to break out and get multiple players contributing.
You know, Bill, you mentioned, I just want to kind of touch on back when you were in school, growing up in Knoxville in school in the 60s and Blaine, and certainly after that, you can make a strong case that overall athletic department rival, again, not individual sport, Florida has been it. And when you look at all the sports, you know, swimming, tennis, basketball, baseball, I guess volleyball now, because those are all, when you look at the overall athletic department and the winning the cup or the award there at the end of that, probably Florida over the, you know, the centuries or decades, excuse me, has probably been the big rival overall.
And maybe so in all sports, and that, it factors in a lot of that, of course, is they're able to recruit. They have a great state to recruit in-state, and other teams in the Southeastern Conference certainly put the work in there, but they also are able to go out and get players to come to Florida. A lot of that's probably because of weather. Very, very comfortable place to play if you like sunshine.
Bill, let's kind of take a look. You mentioned let's take a look at the SEC standings, then talk about Tennessee on that. I think everybody's done. This is the last game in conference, Florida Tennessee today. Alabama has had a phenomenal, great year, 16-2 in the conference, 21-6 overall, top five or six, and then Arkansas, good year, LSU at 11-6, and then. Either Tennessee or Florida is going to be, Tennessee will either be 10-7, both of them will be 10-7, or Florida is going to be 10-6 at the end of it. But as you look at the standings right now, just kind of talk about the overall league this year and what's been a difficult league, difficult game, difficult sport for everybody.
Actually, on the course of the season, though, Tennessee has done pretty well for him. I mean, the SEC has done pretty well in basketball most of the time, having four or five teams ranked within the top 25. Tennessee did drop out of the top 25. They are still down in the bottom with Missouri and some of the others that are just outside that. But just what you would kind of expect. And Alabama's been good all year. They made a great comeback to win yesterday at Georgia. Georgia had them on the ropes, had a double-digit lead at one time, and Alabama steadied the thing and got their talented players playing and came back and won that game. Kentucky played awfully well against South Carolina. I've got a lot of Kentucky fans that are friends. They're disappointed, but I see them as a tough out. I would not want to have to be playing them in the SEC tournament. Of course, Tennessee with a bye, it would be deep into it, but I would not want to run into Kentucky. I think they're playing as well as anybody right now. Auburn, Alabama, LSU, Arkansas still holding a nice ranking, about number 10 or 12 in the country. So overall, I think it's a very good, solid Southeastern Conference. I look for the tournament here in Nashville to be an exciting, good tournament start to finish.
3,500 fans will be allowed in each team. Gets 150 tickets. Going to be a tough ticket to get, but again, we'll kind of keep you informed on what happens to that when we get into it. Of course, next week on the show, we'll know exactly where Tennessee is. Bill, 16-7 overall, 9-7 in the league. I think most analysts and certainly most Tennessee fans felt like it, from a record standpoint, it was going to be a better year than that. You've kind of, and I think anybody that's follows Tennessee and watched these games have a pretty good idea of where the deficiencies have been. But for you, we're essentially in tournament play right now. This last game is going to determine what the seeding is going to be on it. Where do you see this team right now? Where do you see the strengths? And I'm not talking about individual strengths, but strengths overall for this team. And where do you see the weaknesses that are going to have to improve if this team's going to go anywhere in any of the tournaments?
I think the strength weaknesses are bouncing into each other, because here's what the weakness has been. Tennessee has been a slow starter from the opening tip in the early part of their basketball games. And they have started out slowly. They shoot it poorly. They have too many turnovers. They don't defend on the glass on the defensive end of the floor. And they bounce back, usually late in the first half, and then play a nice second half, and that's when they win ball games. The games that they are not able to turn it around and cannot make the adjustments late in the first half and get their game going good in the second half, they've lost. It's that kind of inconsistent play that I think has plagued Tennessee all year. If Tennessee could come out, play to their expectation, as good as they can play, each player contributing what they can contribute, This is where they were ranked as a top 10 team, looking at the possibility of the talent that they have, the experience that they've had, the fact that these guys have played together a lot of games, all of those things coming in with a couple of five-star freshmen that are bound to be players. These are what the expectations were, and inconsistent is the one word that I use most of the time. The last few games, you've had the contribution by just a few guys. The two freshmen, by the way, Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, are accounting for 48% of the Tennessee points in the last seven games. That's not enough help by the other players. Victor Bailey's come in there and averaged 19 for the last four games. So three players basically have carried Tennessee offensively.
Well, and none of those players played last year, right? They're all three newcomers.
That's correct. They all have developed into really good players once the thing got settled. I think probably this has been said over and over and over, but the cancellation of a lot of early season games has probably hurt the first-year players. I know this is the reason that Kentucky has said they were slow starting with their five-star players, because they didn't have those preseason early games that are usually a little easier opponents to get used to playing.
Bill, I know you know this. Most fans don't. I don't know much about basketball, but I enjoy watching basketball. But here's kind of what, just from a pure fan, and I put myself in the category of most basketball fans. I'm a fan. I like watching college basketball. I love watching college basketball. But here's just what, in a nutshell, if I was asked to kind of describe this year. This team, to me, and you tell me where I'm wrong or right, the two things that jump out to me on the offensive end, forget about the defensive end, is it's really not a really top or good ball handling team, and there's really not a very good inside presence when it comes to scoring.
Well, I think that's a great evaluation. Let's talk about the inside scoring first. John Fulkerson has been the only player of considerable height at 6'9", playing in the basket. We've talked about this, and his contribution, his numbers have gone down certainly from last year and into this season in the last few games. And the reason is because without some kind of help, a real five player, number five down low, they have been able to fall back in on him, take that over-the-shoulder lefty away from him, and it's kind of hindered his performance. And the guys outside, they're able to play full court press man-to-man because they don't have to sink back somebody to guard inside a big five. So that's one thing that has hurt them. They've also been hurt a little bit by trying to really figure out who I think the real steady ball handler is. And in the past, they've used other guys as point guards, and the guys that they use as point guards sometimes don't handle it well. I like Josiah Jordan James handling the ball, but he has been out with an injury, and even when he's come back, he has still been compromised a little bit. I've said it all along. I love Santiago Vescovi as an off-ball catch-and-shoot player. When you look at his statistics in terms of shooting percentage, they're really good when he can catch and shoot. Putting the ball in his hands, he's sometimes a little reckless, and he can run up turnovers pretty quickly. So that kind of a lineup, I think, would be better for Tennessee when they can put the big guy at the point position. We'll talk about recruits in the future. You know, they've got the number one point guard in the country coming in next year. So that's one of the places of need that they will have and have to fill. But this is when I like their best lineup, when they have the two freshmen in and then get the ball in Josiah's hands and let Vescovi be an off-ball shooter.
More with Bill Justice after we come back from the break. And as we go to break, I'll talk to you about Delta Dental of Tennessee. Do you need an insurance? I bet you do, dental insurance. Most people don't have it. I didn't have it for a long period of time. But I found a company in Delta Dental of Tennessee. A couple of things. Number one, it's a huge Tennessee company, University of Tennessee company. And the other part of it is they had a myriad of plans that I could choose from that was right for me and my family at this particular time. And I found one that was exactly right. Two free cleanings a year. I get help on any major thing that I have. I've only had to use one, really. Had a root canal, 6-8 months ago now. Well over 50% was taken care of by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Bottom line is this. If you need insurance, maybe you have insurance you're not happy with, or you don't have any dental insurance at all. If you have it at your place of work, great. But they have an individual plan for you at their website. And if you go on coveryourmouth.com or deltadentaltn.com, they've got something that's just right for you and your family. So check them out. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Let me do one more live commercial here, and then we'll go right up to the top of the hour. Mid-10 Ford. If you're a truck person, you're probably a Ford truck person. And if you're a Ford truck person, there's no question in my mind, you're a mid-10 Ford truck person. 50-plus years, the Boyd family has run and handled mid-10 Ford. And, yes, they do other things. They sell SUVs, but they are truck people. Little bitty trucks all the way up to the big, big, big trucks. They got a parts department that has $1 million in it. Many of the other, not only Ford dealerships, but other dealerships, several, when they have a truck problem, needs to be fixed, they send it to mid-10 Ford because that's what they do. A collision center, they can paint anything you want painted up to 65 feet. Great Tennessee people. Mid10trucks.com is the website. All right, Billy, let's kind of get back and spend the last 5-6 minutes here talking about where this team is right now. And I guess the question most people would ask you, UT fans would ask you, is how far – number one, I assume you think that Tennessee is going to get in the tournament, NCAA tournament. With that assumption, how far can this team, you think, go?
With consistency, I think this is a team that probably could live up to what they were in the preseason and the early season when they were ranked in the top 10. You know, we can talk a little bit about the NCAA overall next week. On Saturday, when we see what those lineups look like and see what the brackets look like, certainly there are half a dozen teams nationally that are going to be better than Tennessee, and rightfully so. But I think Tennessee, if they played well and they have players functioning, and they get good production in all the categories out of 5 or 6 or 7 players, that there's no reason that they can't be a team that makes it, you know, several rounds into the tournament. We're going to start to see that with the SEC tournament. That's one of the good things that I like about basketball. Doug, we've talked about this. It doesn't hold true in football, but this is a restart. This is you just wipe out what just happened in the season. I don't care who you are. Let's talk to Kentucky, who's used to being great, and this year they have a losing record. They're not going to get in the win in the tournament if the season ended today, but it doesn't. It's a restart, starting with the SEC tournament. Somebody can come in and get hot and win that tournament, and now they're in the big dance. So it's a restart for every team to be able to give one more shot at prolonging their season and making the NCAA tournament. So starts up with the SEC tournament coming here in Nashville.
Bill, I'm sure if we took phone calls, which we don't, I don't, it's not you, that you don't want to, I don't. But I'm sure one of the main questions would be from Tennessee fans would be this, and I get asked this to ask you about this. John Fulkerson, anybody that read his comments this past week, you have to really love this kid. You're not a kid anymore, young man. Pure Tennessee follower, loves the school, loves his coach, loves his teammates. Has had, I'm sure in his, he didn't say this, but in his own words, he's had kind of a disappointing year. What, you know, this is a guy last year who was all SEC, who came into this year as going to be one of the best players in the league and really has not had a very good year at all. Where do you place that right now?
Again, I think it's because he does not have a lot of help inside, and the defense has been able to focus on him. They know how he likes to go over the left shoulder. They play him very strong on that side, forcing him back to the right-hand side where he is not as successful. Certainly, he leans over that left-hand shoulder, and they know that. The fact that he doesn't have help down low, a true five-post player that can take defensive pressure off of him, I think teams have just learned how to play him. I don't think it's as much the fact that he has played poorly as it is that maybe he has not been able to adjust to the way the defenses are playing against him this year. You can say that about other players, too. I think you'll see players that start to do some things with Santiago Vescovi on the catch-and-shoot end of things. Make him put it on the floor because he tends to turn it over when they do that. Don't let him just go off of an off-ball screen and shoot it. If you do, he's going to knock you down. You can see that with those players if you look at percents on shooting free throws. Tennessee's best shooters are very, very good at free throws. They're, you know, as a team, Tennessee makes 75%, and that when you throw in the numbers of your bigger guys that probably don't shoot it as well as the guards, that's a pretty good overall number for your team.
Bill, give us about a minute or so here on what Tennessee will need to do today and to beat this Florida team, and also talk a little bit about Florida's team there, the scheme they play offensively and their players.
Mike White at Florida has got an outstanding team. He's got four players that play, minutes up to about 30, all of them averaging double figures. Their percentages are very good. They shoot 76 from the free throw line, 36% on threes, 47% on field goals. They are without Keyontae Johnson, who is out for the year. He had that tragic injury and went into the hospital. He has come out. He has recovered, but he is gone for the year. So they are not fully loaded like they were when they had him. With him in there, they would be a really tough out. As they are now, they've got four players that are going to contribute. This is a tough team. Good thing that it's in Knoxville. We've talked about this. That home court advantage in Florida is terrific. And in Knoxville, even though it won't be full, the ones that are there will be supporting the Tennessee Vols today. So good that it's in Knoxville. I think that gives Tennessee the edge.
One quick note on this. I know this has never happened, I know, through Tennessee history. Rarely, I doubt that it's maybe never happened, or if it has, very, very rarely. The athletic director at Tennessee is Danny White, and his brother is Mike White. So you got an AD at Tennessee, Mike White, of course, the head basketball coach at Florida. I'm sure they may wave at each other before the game, probably won't talk till after the game.
Who do you think Danny's going to be cheering for? I think he's got to go with the Vols. That's where his paycheck comes from.
I'm sure. I don't have any doubt about that. Bill, thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
We'll start to go through what's going to happen in the SEC and in the NCAA. Look forward to it, Coach.
Good enough. Again, Florida, Tennessee today. I don't know if it's the only game scheduled, only Southeastern Conference game scheduled. All right, let me end the show with this. One of the guys that writers that I grew up reading when I was a kid out in Oklahoma was Mark Twain. One of his famous quotes was, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this for UT football right now, The reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. This happened when he was overseas in London, England, and the reports came that he had passed away. As a matter of fact, they even had an obituary in a couple of the national papers here. And his famous quote was, "The reports of my death are greatly exaggerated." I'm going to use a different little version of that. Let me just say this, and I've heard this from good friends. I've heard it from people who I don't know. The reports of the demise, I'll substitute that word, of Tennessee football are greatly exaggerated. Folks, we're nowhere close to that. We've had a bad decade. There's been other programs we've had worse, but we've also had low points going all the way back to when Neyland was hired. Ever so often, sometimes it goes a little bit longer than others, and we're in the middle of one of those droughts right now where we just have not done good hiring, or we haven't had good leadership, or we haven't had a combination of both. But one thing that I'll stand with every single week is this. There's no doubt in my mind, from listening and watching and reading and talking, the reports of Tennessee football being no longer viable, no longer a program that can get back to the top. Well, I used the term a couple of weeks ago, bull dust. It's just pure bull dust. Or you can add ing to that. It's just bull dusting. That's where you just kind of sit around like a Dude Rose barbershop back in Pitcher, Oklahoma, and solve all the problems of the day, sit in there and talk about, you know, we can get this done and that done. That's all that is. This program will be strong again. It needs the leadership. Hopefully we have it now. It needs to get back to recruiting good football players and developing them. And when that happens at Tennessee, when we have leadership at the administrative level, when we have a head football coach that is a competent coach and can develop players, then we become good again. Now, that's going to happen at some point. Don't know when, but it's going to happen at some point. So, again, to quote Mark Twain, to paraphrase, the reports of Tennessee football's demise, quote, death, are greatly, greatly exaggerated. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next Sunday, or Big Orange Sunday.